You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the morning. Starts now.
This is the Roto Experts in the morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Week one, the Sunday, is in the books. Two more games tonight. We will preview them later on this hour. But after week one, after Sunday night, how you feeling, Corey?
I feel pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Had a nice start to the fantasy season so far. I'm going through some things right now. Looks like I'll come out, you know, probably about with 9-3, with one of the losses being the damn Scott. I'm 5-10 now against Scott. But, you know, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. But I feel good. Obviously, the Dallas Cowboys getting a win like that. So, successful NFL Sunday to kick it off. A great day of programming on FNTSY game day yesterday. So, I'm excited. I'm very, very happy to be here and taking part of this football season with y'all. So, I'm all in. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. A privilege to be with my friends here on a day of remembrance. Our hearts and thoughts go out to everybody. And as far as football goes, a lot of games hanging in the balance. But I did start Cooper Kupp and the Rams defense in our charity daily league, rotoexperts.com/DKMS. Play free daily fantasy football against us for a charitable cause. To delete blood cancer and win tickets to the Super Bowl, and I got two Rams in there.
Yeah, Scott, you make a great point. Today is a day of remembrance. Never forget. On the fantasy side, week one, it's not over, but it started off very good for myself, at least. Currently number one overall in the online championship at a 2,500 team, so we'll take it for now. End the season.
End the season indeed. Unfortunately, if you had the number one overall pick, your season may be hanging in the balance that quickly. I know I'm being dramatic, but you know, losing David Johnson could do that. David Johnson left yesterday's game with what is now being deemed as a sprained wrist. X-rays were negative. We are awaiting the results of an MRI, which should be done today. But David Johnson leaves yesterday's game with a sprained wrist. Unfortunately, that wasn't the only injury we dealt with. Danny Woodhead, who was out for much of August with a strained hamstring, restrained that hamstring, which is not a surprise. Allen Robinson tears his ACL.
In a money year.
Brutal injury for a guy in a contract year. And Kevin White looks to be out for the season.
Five games, Kevin White. 3 years.
Again. Major
this guy
history.
Right here, if you tackle him, it's over. Season-ending injury. What happened? He was tackled. Football,
imagine
son.
You drafted Kevin White, Danny Woodhead, Allen Robinson, like all David Johnson, all on the same team.
Yeah, that would be brutal. That would be absolutely brutal.
No bueno.
No,
still have to wait on the news for David Johnson, though, before you make that waiver move for Kyron Williams.
We're going to talk about the Eagles and Redskins and the Buffalo Bills and what you do with LeSean McCoy when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Scotty mentioned a moment ago playing a lineup over at fantasy draft, and it was for a good cause. You can check out that good cause, rotoexperts.com/DKMS, because you're going to have an opportunity to just literally fill out a lineup and help fight a mission to kind of end blood cancer, which is extremely, extremely important. So as I said, rotoexperts.com/DKMS is where you go. What we want, you know, just take a look, read the information there, and see if you'd like to register to potentially become a bone marrow donor. We're trying to literally save lives, and we're going to have a contest every week over on a Fantasy Draft. It's a completely free DFS fantasy football contest. We are co-sponsoring it with the guys from DKMS. If you win a week, and it might be Scotty who wins this week, if you win a week, the 16 winners, the first 16 weeks, will go into a contest in week 17 over at Fantasy Draft DFS, and the winner, hopefully not Scott, will get two tickets to Super Bowl 52 in Minnesota. So as I said, rotoexperts.com/DKMS is the place to go. Lineups do not include the Thursday night games, so you have right up until game time on Sunday to crush it. So we will all have lineups in there. And we hope we don't win, because I feel bad. But DKMS is literally trying to end blood cancer, to potentially become a bone marrow donor. Check it out at rotoexperts.com/DKMS.
And the great thing is, like you said, you can still get in. You know, we start a new game every single week, and it's totally free to play. There's absolutely no catch.
The Washington Redskins and the Philadelphia Eagles, a little NFC East battle yesterday. The Eagles won this one 30-17.
You know what that means. When they play later in the season, DC will win.
Yes, sir.
They always split.
Correct. LeGarrette Blount rushed for this team 14 times for 46 yards, caught a touchdown. I think it was the second touchdown caught in his career. He had won his entire tenure in New England. but that was it, right? Wendell Smallwood carried the ball four times. Darren Sproles carried it twice. Pumphrey wasn't even active. And that was it. This is LeGarrette Blount's backfield, number one. Number two, I can run the ball that much.
No, this is going to be another team.
This is mini Green Bay right here. The run game will be secondary. LeGarrette Blount will punch it in from a few yards out and run enough to keep the defense honest. Other than that, you know, it's going to be Carson Wentz throwing the ball, and Darren Sproles will be extension of the running game.
Yeah, Darren Sproles will be an extension of the running game here. And that's why. Would you rather own Darren Sproles or Chris Thompson going forward, Matt?
Probably Darren Sproles. I mean, Thompson isn't that far away, but I think Sproles is the guy. He's proven it. They are going to rely on him. He's done it time and time again. But, I mean, Thompson's a nice option. He's in that Shane Vereen category where, they, you know, they're going to get the receptions. They're going to they have that defined role.
That was a really, you know, nice touchdown that Thompson scored. Electric move yesterday. You could see the talent is definitely there.
Good call on Marine, too.
I mean, look, the Giants want to throw the ball. No, they understand they can't run it. And, you know, Vereen's the guy.
I still don't trust
How much is he's going to be consistently involved, though, you know, when Odell is back,
though? It's going to have to be the running game. He's going to have to be the running game for that team. That short pass is going to have to be the running game for that team. So as long as he can stay healthy. But what I found interesting, I hate to jump off track right there. This thing right here, the Jordan Reed news yesterday, and I mentioned this on Lineup Lock Live. First of all, you know, Greg, this doctor thing, right?
Sure.
I'm good at this. What was I saying, Scott? It's probably a break in that toe. You know what I'm saying?
I was watching Lineup Lock Live when you got this news.
It's probably a break in that toe. Now, the Jordan Reed thing, just like the damn Sammy Watkins thing last year. Oh, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine. He's fine. Sunday morning, week one, oh, he has a broken toe. What do you mean? The draft's over now? Why the hell do you keep doing this to me? Thank goodness I only have him on one team. Unlike Watkins last year, where I had him on 10. You feel what I'm saying? The NFL, listen, I understand you don't have to share the injury report information in the preseason leading up to the start of the season. They have to change that rule. Because fantasy football is too big to be keeping that information back from owners. That's bad, bad, bad form right there.
You know, I was telling Greg during one of the breaks, you know, I co-own a team with my buddy Dom, and we've had like A dozen arguments a day. And one of them was during the draft. Like, he wanted to take Jordan Reed so bad. And I was like, you take Jordan Reed right now in the fourth round, I'm getting up and walking out. I'm just not doing it.
You know how doped up he is going to be Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, Jordan Reed?
Yeah, and the thing is, the optimism came after they took him off the pup list.
Exactly.
Everybody, then he started moving up. But you knew the foot was still an issue. So if you were drafting him, you should have taken a quality second tight end or like a, you know, somebody later on in your draft. And, you know, maybe Vernon Davis is a thing again later on this year.
Maybe so. Zach Ertz was a thing yesterday with 8 for 93, though. So really, really good day. And like I said, it wasn't even December.
Six of his catches went for like first down, too.
I just read this stat, by the way. Kind of, I know I'm jumping around here. J.J. Zacharias did a tremendous job. J.J. tweeted this out. Eli Manning attempted 2 passes that went for over 15 yards in the air. Only 3 quarterbacks had less, and one of them was Jacoby Brissett, who barely.
At least Jacoby Brissett. He threw that one bomb, and Moncrief caught it.
Yeah, the 50-yarder, yeah.
They should have traded him in the offseason when they had the chance to.
Who's that?
When Jacksonville was interested, Eli Manning. That thing is not working.
They couldn't trade Eli.
Why would they trade Eli?
They
who would play quarterback?
That. Huh?
Who would play quarterback?
They got to get a new one. They got to get somebody that McAdoo can train and get in there and get his system rolling. What, this is the third year now of him and his system?
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. It's only one game, but it don't look right. It doesn't look right. It does not look right.
Quarterbacks are not available, though, really.
Huh?
Quarterbacks are not available.
They could have drafted one.
They could have got Tyrod Taylor.
Who looked wonderful yesterday.
He did. So Tyrod Taylor
good
did
yesterday.
Look wonderful yesterday. As Tyrod Taylor and the Bills defeated the Jets yesterday, and Corey's absolutely right. He looked wonderful yesterday. Kind of right back where he left off. Threw 224 yards, a couple of touchdowns, did throw one pick. Also ran 8 times for 38 yards. He looked awesome. I mean, this is the Tyrod Taylor that we liked back in July before any of the Sammy Watkins stuff happened, and they traded away their entire team. Ronald Darby, by the way, out for a significant period of time.
Yeah. That was a big blow for them. That's a big blow for them. You're going to be able to light them up in the secondary. I can't wait till Dez sees that secondary.
You say that about the Eagles every year.
There's no Janoris Jenkins on that team.
Oh, stop it.
LeSean, the Jackrabbit?
Yeah, I know.
Why is that a horrible nickname? It's cool.
I don't like it.
Come Why?
We call him Jackrabbit.
Yeah. What? It's cool.
It's a jackrabbit.
You're a grown man.
How much do you hate the honey badger then?
No, honey badger.
Honey badger you like?
Honey badger I love.
Oh, God. LeSean McCoy rushed 22 times for 110 yards. They caught 5 balls for 49 yards. Matt, this offense was exactly what we thought. LeSean McCoy.
A little bit of Mike Tolbert.
It wasn't even just Mike Tolbert, though. It was insane. On the one, they had 3 scores from 1 yard out. Charles Clay, which I could say, Charles Clay should have been a thing yesterday.
And he was. 4 you catches, know, 53 yards, and a touchdown.
Because he was the one guy that he was familiar with. The only receiver option that he was familiar with. But Andre Holmes from 1 yard out, and then Tolbert from 1 yard out.
Yeah,
so.
But Zay Jones, what was it, 1 catch for 4 yards? He was totally uninvolved.
Well, but, yeah, you know, but see, he has no rapport with Zay Jones and, you know, and even Jordan Matthews, when he came to the Bills, he missed all that time, too, so.
Jordan Matthews had a nice catch and run yesterday, though. It was like 47 yards, I think.
Yeah, Jordan Matthews did have just that 2 catches for 61 yards total, including that 47-yard one that Scotty mentioned.
Now, the offense is going to run through Shady until he gets hurt.
Correct.
Because that's coming. You feel what I'm saying?
He got hurt yesterday, left the game briefly, returned. And then what?
They're going to be terrible when that happens.
I watched Mike Tolbert run yesterday on a pitch, and it was scary.
Mike Tolbert is fat.
He's like, oh.
By the way, you may say it'll be terrible.
Not body shaming Mike Tolbert
either.
You
may say it's going to be terrible, but I'll tell you what. I'll tell you who won't be terrible. It's Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor is going to have fantasy value going forward. And I think we may have missed the boat. We jumped off him. We went too far.
When they lost Watkins.
We went too far there.
Yeah.
In the Superflex Flex League Cup, LeSean McCoy is on the block.
There you go.
Anybody wants him?
Come get him.
For
the New York Jets, also a disaster, predictably. Bilal Powell carried the ball 7 times for 22 yards.
One of the biggest disappointments of week one was the usage of Bilal Powell. But you figured that was going to happen when they fell behind.
You thought they were going to throw to him, though, when they fell behind.
They were throwing to Jermaine Kearse. I like Kearse as a pickup.
You say that. It was a 7-6 game after the first. It was a 14-12 game after the third.
True.
So they were involved.
But why the hell?
This game was close all game long. So
why did they give up on the game plan? They should pound Powell. That's their best player.
Maybe that wasn't the game plan.
Yeah, I don't know. I just was always of the mindset. And Powell was the one guy I would consider, but I would just avoid Jets.
Avoid Jets.
How do y'all feel about Kurse, though?
That's the question. Jermaine Kurse, 7 catches for 59 yards yesterday. Led this team in targets with 9. Robbie Anderson was next with 8, but he only caught 4 for 22.
Here's the thing with Kurse. You know, Josh McCown says, I'm a veteran. Here's another veteran. I can trust him. He's experienced, you know, with stuff like that. But and he will look to Kurse. But Kurse really doesn't have any upside. You're looking at maybe like 5 for 50, you know, pretty much every week would be the projection, and hope he gets in the end zone. There's not a lot of upside out there, but there might be something of a floor.
I'm probably going to drop Robbie Anderson, by the way. I'm not. I shouldn't have drafted him. That was a mistake. I'm an idiot. So
DFS play.
Yeah, that's about it. We're going to come back, and when we do, we hit on Carolina and San Francisco. Roto Experts in the Morning continues on right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Said repeatedly that this is going to be the year of the rookie running back. Leonard Fournette yesterday.
Ding.
Carried the ball over 25 times for 100 yards.
I was very impressed with him yesterday, Fournette, against that defense and that environment.
Tenacious.
Kareem Hunt, we know what he did Thursday night.
Baller.
He was balling indeed. Dalvin Cook goes tonight.
Against the Saints.
What if he drops 50?
He might against the Saints.
Joe Mixon.
Not so much.
We gotta get somebody in that situation. Hey, Matt. I hate to say Matt, but you know, because you know, it's gonna say after I make the comment, it's gonna be like, oh, it's stereotypical. I was gonna ask you if you knew a guy that you can send to Marvin Lewis.
Hey, look, I'm of the mindset if you can, you know, if somebody's completely falling off the Joe Mixon after 1 week bandwagon,
buy
him. You know, it's a long season.
Okay, but do you start him?
Right now, if you have better options, you know, you probably got him in the fourth or fifth round.
Theoretic a better option right now?
Right now.
Oh, what you say? Theoretic. I love Theoretic. I'm one of the guys that I was like, you don't have to draft all these running backs early. Or just guys like Theoretic that catch.
But you also just got the Danny Woodhead, too.
I remember a couple weeks ago when you talked about.
But Danny Woodhead, we did know he wasn't in.
You know Theoretic has a role. You know what his role is going to be. We don't know what Joe Mixon's role is going to be. It confounds the hell out of all of us, but we don't know what his role is going to be.
Now,
Marvin Lewis is coaching
with themselves,
yesterday like it was a playoff game.
I think if they're honest with themselves and that offensive line, which credit to Mike Blewett, he was on them. He did the offensive line report for RotoExperts.com.
Ding!
And, you know, he said he was really worried about this offense because of that line. It was terrible. They had him 31st or either 31st
they
or 32nd.
Every bit of terrible
but,
yesterday.
You know, they got to go with the plan of one or three step dropbacks, get it to guys like Mixon, Bernard in the backfield, and use the talent of A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert.
Look at the three offensive lines we've been talking about as negative. Seattle, no running game yesterday. The Giants, no running game yesterday. Cincinnati, no running game yesterday.
But the difference is Cincinnati, Paul Perkins is trash. You feel what I'm saying? Whoever they got, Eddie Lacy, Thomas Rawls, I like Chris Carson, though. Those dudes are trash. You feel what I'm saying? Joe Mixon can play.
Look what Carson had to do yesterday. He had to reverse his field and run behind Russell Wilson for a three-yard gain.
At least he tried, and he looked like he had some kind of talent, hunger, and drive.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest of them bums just like,
wait a minute, hold on. Eddie Lacy has hunger.
Now, here's the thing with Joe Mixon. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago about who's that stash and cash running back? Who's the Jordan Howard? Who's the David Johnson? It might be Joe Mixon.
Might be.
We looked at Mixon as a week one play. Maybe Mixon is the guy that you got to play the long game with, and I'm willing to do it with Mixon.
You know what it is? You often talk about talent. You often talk about opportunity. The talent and the opportunity don't always converge, and that's what's happening with Joe Mixon.
But in the long run, I think you know that's the winning formula. Talent
it
plus
is.
Opportunity.
It is. You know? It is. But sometimes the coaches are just going to see it differently for whatever reason.
I think if you really want to win in fantasy football, you have to be patient. You got to play the long game.
Yeah.
You can't be reactionary on every week.
Of course.
You know, for me, football kind of breaks down in quarters. The first four games.
Sure.
You see teams that are like 3-1 that really are, you know, false. Yeah. They're really not true 3-1 teams. And then you see by week 12... they're like 6-6.
Yeah, everybody gets excited about like okay, Minnesota's Eagles are 3-0s. Minnesota started 5-0 last year, so that's a great point. At some point though, the talent and opportunity are not always going to converge. So, like he says, you got to play the long game. The talent should win out if the coaching staff is smart.
Well, there's one more rookie running back that played yesterday, and that was Christian McCaffrey, and he played in the Panthers' 23-3 victory over the 49ers. In McCaffrey's debut, he rushed the ball 13 times for 47 yards, caught 5 passes for 38 yards. Mm-hmm. That's relatively solid. The annoying thing was that a Panthers running back caught a touchdown, and it wasn't Christian McCaffrey. It was Jonathan Stewart. Stewart's one of his two catches yesterday was a touchdown in the red zone. Very, very frustrating. Stewart actually rushed 18 times for 65
yards. Carried the ball more.
We said, let's not forget about Jonathan Stewart. This day was an example of that.
Yeah, he carried the football more. He's the primary running back when it comes on when it comes to early down work between the tackles. But what I will say about McCaffrey is McCaffrey might lead this team in targets this year. He's going to be involved a lot. I think it's going to be a lot in the passing game. So everybody that was like, okay, he could be a 60, 70 catch guy in the PPR. You know what? That is something that possibly could happen because I think he's going to be a big-time pass-catching running back. I could see him leading all running backs in receptions this year, even if you plug in Le'Veon Bell into that mix also. What I worry about, though, it's only one game. The Kelvin Benjamin love, to me, I didn't see where it was coming from. But I think McCaffrey is probably going to be the main piece in this offense when it comes to, you know, Cam Newton getting the ball out quickly and stuff like that. I like the way Cam played yesterday. 25 attempts, 171 yards, 2 touchdowns, was able to manage the game. Didn't see the rushing upside like we have in years in the past from Cam. You know, he carried the ball 6 times, ran out of bounds, which was good to see. But, you know, the Carolina Panthers offense is going to be you know, pretty vanilla. A lot of McCaffrey is the way I look at it right now. Now, mind you, they were playing the 49ers yesterday. When the matchups get tougher, we may start to see different things. I don't like only 4 targets from Greg Olsen. Olsen's a player I didn't own anywhere this year because I really think their main goal is to get McCaffrey involved. But the thing about it is a lot of teams are going to start keying in on McCaffrey and trying to take him out of the game altogether. And then I don't know what Carolina does after that.
McCaffrey's so versatile that he gives, strategically, he gives the Panthers a unique chess piece to use in a different lot of ways that they just didn't have before. So he's always going to have a pretty nice floor in a PPR, even if he doesn't get in the end zone. As far as Cam, it was up and down. The first half, he didn't look good. The second half, he did. Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen were invisible yesterday. You know, they really relied on the running backs, but I don't know if that's going to happen every week. You know, Greg Olsen's going to get his.
Yeah, I don't know about if Greg Olsen's going to get his. I'm concerned, as I have been from the beginning, with this Carolina offense. And that's why I was a little hesitant on Christian McCaffrey. But I'm very much in Corey's corner here. And it looks like, at least for week one, this offense is going to run through the running game of Jonathan Stewart, run through the short passing game of Christian McCaffrey. Although I'm not totally out on Kelvin Benjamin, I just don't know what to expect from the long downfield passing game with a Greg Olsen and with a Kelvin Benjamin. I don't know.
I think you get probably the numbers from Olsen like close to what you did last year. I'm not overreacting to one game. You know, Kelvin Benjamin yesterday, 1 catch, 25 yards. It's you know, I can see where he says, I don't understand where the Kelvin Benjamin love is coming from.
They're going to take shots with him.
Yeah. Like I said, it's one game. I think this offense is still going to have its core, and I think McCaffrey is the back here. I still believe that to be true. Jonathan Stewart is going to have his role. He's not going away, but I think as the season progresses, I think you'd be very happy if you own Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I think so too. What are your final Sunday takeaways here? When we come back after the break, we're going to Monday Night Football. What's your big takeaway here from Sunday, Matt?
Final Sunday takeaways is, you know, it's a lot of bad football.
It was a lot of bad football, right?
It's only week one. We can't, you know, don't get crazy. A lot of good quarterbacks. that, you know, our elite level quarterbacks did not play up to par. So, you know, just take it easy. Take a deep breath. That's my biggest thing is, you know, don't – you drafted these guys for a reason. Like Tom Brady next week has the New Orleans Saints what did they play? I can't think.
New Orleans.
In the
dome.
I was thinking of the dome, though. I couldn't get the name out of it.
Superdome. So, okay, listen. The Tom Brady thing, I haven't gotten a chance to talk about that game. He looked washed. Now, Kansas City has made him look washed before.
Sure.
So, you expect him to bounce right back next week. You know what I'm saying? It just was... Dude, that defense, oh my goodness. They were having their way with them. Now, they got a lot of playmakers in Kansas City. Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, you know, if Andy Reid and, you know, Alex Smith can get it together and piece it together right, they're going to be playing deep into the AFC playoffs once again, that Andy Reid coach team. I'm not jumping, like, I don't want to overreact to what the Patriots look like, but they look pretty. Tom Brady looked washed.
If anybody
you said you'd play deep into the AFC playoffs.
You're right. If anybody can figure it out and push it.
Then they get 10 days to do it.
What happened?
You say they play deep into the AFC playoffs. When was the last time they did that?
Last year.
How deep did they go?
They went to the AFC championship game. No, they went to the division round.
Divisionals, that's...
Deep into the playoffs.
Deep is like you know, he doesn't have a stellar playoff record.
When was the last time
record.
Seattle played deep into the playoffs?
What, 2 years ago? What was the last time Dallas played deep into the playoffs?
Is the divisional round deep into the playoffs?
I see why, because Dallas went to the
divisional. Is the divisional round deep into the playoffs, Scott?
I'd say that's midway through it.
I think the division round is deep into the playoffs.
They don't have a lot of playoff success.
Not squeaking by Minnesota, you know what I'm saying?
Or winning two playoff games in 22 years, right?
But here's the point, though. Into the playoffs.
You know, I'm seeing this talk like they've taken over the mantle from somebody in ESPN.
Who?
From New England in the AFC right now. It's like, you know, let's not overreact to 1 week. Like you said, in 2014, they beat New England before. I'm not all of a sudden putting this team in the AFC championship game based on 1 week.
They'll be in the division round. They'll be one of the final four teams in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's about as far as they'll go.
I don't know.
Scott.
I would bet against that.
You would bet against that.
I probably would too. They lost.
They just lost Eric Berry.
The loss of Berry is tough.
Alex Smith. I don't know if he's ever going to look that good again this year.
Yeah.
He's got the weapons. We love Hunt.
He does.
We love Hill. We love Kelsey.
We were saying before the season opener, we don't think they have a lot. Now all of a sudden they got weapons because of one game.
You don't think they got weapons? You see what Tyreek Hill does?
Yes.
When Hill is on the field, all eyes are on him.
But you
Everybody's watching him.
Weapons. There's also like Chris
Kareem
Conley
Hunt is a weapon.
Albert,
he scored 50
Albert
damn
Wilson.
Fantasy points in the PPR.
We're talking about the passing game. They've always had a running game.
Huh?
They've always had a running
game. They have weapons. They got playmakers. Look how they scheme, but they looked excellent on offense
the other
night.
They got Kelsey and they got Hill.
And they got Kareem Hunt, Scott.
Kareem Hunt's in the running game. You're talking about weapons. I'm thinking the passing game.
He's a damn weapon, Scott. He had 200-something yards of total offense. What are you doing?
Chris
Conley. Your man don't watch football, Greg. And he don't watch football. I'm done. He don't watch football.
I watched Isaiah Crowell like crap.
We preview Monday Night Football. Next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis. Rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Wasn't a playmaker. He scored 50 fantasy points.
I didn't say the guy wasn't a playmaker. Are you putting words in my mouth again, Corey? You made some good points, and you're probably right. But don't make like I'm not. I don't belong here.
No, I'm just teasing you, Scott. It's part of the act.
Yeah, it's part of the act.
You're a little sensitive.
You know what, Corey?
You might end up paying for this tomorrow.
Oh, shots fired.
Right, Scott, if you want to talk about your victory tomorrow.
It's not a victory yet.
We'll talk
about it. It's not a victory yet.
Now you open up
the game. It's not a victory yet. But all I know is that you were up. You did not get much sleep last night.
No, I slept well last night.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Because you all worried about possibly losing to me.
I'm not worried about it.
And put your foot in your mouth yet again.
When the year comes to an end, Scott.
Yet again.
You're going to be like Scott always does.
Corey, for 7 years now, Corey, you have not learned. 9 times you have talked garbage that you are so much more dominant over me, and 9 times you have ended up with your foot in your mouth, looking away at your computer when I show you that I am the king.
Head-to-head matchups, okay.
Right? Okay? You always make like you're this dominant force over me. You will respect me, Junior.
Junior? Yeah.
You will respect me. Son's overused.
Corey was talking about the Chiefs and the Patriots just a moment ago, and the Patriots, they fell in Survivor, and they cost you. And now you want to get back in the game. You still can over at Fantasy Factor. Fantasy Factor entries are still being accepted, and you can get in tonight. Vikings, Saints, Broncos, and Chargers. Who you got? If you want one of them, get in the game at www.fantasyfactor.com. Make your pick each week. The last man standing takes home $8,000. Someone's going to win $1,000. It might as well be you. It is the only DFS site that is exclusively single entry contest. FantasyFactor.com. Sign up today. Monday Night Football tonight, as I mentioned, it's the Minnesota Vikings, the New Orleans Saints, live from where Super Bowl 52 will take place in Minnesota.
Yeah.
A lot of people like Sam Bradford this week as a replacement quarterback for Jameis Winston, as a replacement quarterback for Andrew Luck. I went in a different direction. I went with Carson Palmer. I went with Eli Manning. Neither of these worked out at all. And I decided to go with those two players instead of going with Bradford. People went with Andy Dalton. That didn't work out. Let's see if the Sam Bradford decision works out a little better. The game script says it should. Let's see, Matt, if that happens.
I'm kind of hoping it does. I'm hoping Stephon Diggs shines tonight. I still have him in a lot of lineups ready to roll. So that could be something very positive for me, but I do like this offense. I think, you know, everybody talks about we like Dalvin Cook, we like Diggs, we like Thielen, we like Rudolph, and nobody likes Sam Bradford. So he's got a great matchup. He's got a very fantasy-friendly schedule for a quarterback this season. I think the Vikings, with that defense and this offense now, and that change in offensive coordinators last year, I think they can win this division.
I think tomorrow morning, though, we might be talking about a lesson learned, though, that fantasy players never seem to learn. You can't just base who you start on a matchup alone. The questions I was getting yesterday, Bradford or, should I sit Aaron Rodgers for Bradford? You know, things like that based on the matchup. I even said don't use him over Stafford. Like, look, Bradford hasn't played yet. Maybe he's going to have a good game. But you don't base your decisions on matchups alone. Sam Bradford last year had the highest completion percentage ever, but he only averaged 7 yards a pass. And what's also interesting about this, too, is that, you know, Adam Thielen is I think Evan Silva has pointed out, actually, who writes a great matchup column, that Thielen is now playing in the slot where Diggs used to be, though Thielen is a sneaky play tonight.
I don't think he's a sneaky play at all.
I don't think a lot of people are considering Thielen when you're talking about the mainstream fantasy user and not us.
Oh, I very much disagree. Adam Thielen is an extremely popular player. I think he was going earlier in drafts, and experts were taking him by the mainstream players. You saw what he did last year. Now he's in the slot. He's got a phenomenal matchup tonight. I'd be shocked if most people didn't have Thielen in their lineups this week, to be totally honest with you.
From the mainstream players, I don't get the feeling that, like, you know, they consider Thielen strongly. Diggs, they're very much on him.
I kind of wish the NFL would would do this doubleheader Monday night every week and scrap the Thursday night game.
Sure.
I think it would be so much better. Have a West Coast game later on, an East Coast game.
But that's it makes sense. For me personally, though, 10:30 game, though, was killer.
Yeah.
We got to get up early for this.
We're talking about the overall.
I said that.
Same time as you.
I said that.
I'm just saying.
NFL make the rules for Scott. Scott got to get up tomorrow morning. Let's put the game on at 5 yeah. o'clock.
Yeah, well, we heard you yesterday said, it's all about my lineup. I don't care about y'all. I heard you say that yesterday.
That's satire, Scott.
Yeah, no, that's your selfishness.
The West Coast game tonight is the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers division matchup. And I am praying, Corey, that Keenan Allen lasts longer than Danny Woodhead.
I agree with you on that one. But, you know, this is going to be interesting to see because a lot of people are in on the Chargers. We've already saw what the Raiders can do. We've already seen what Kansas City's about. Now we can see the Chargers and Broncos. That's going to be a very competitive AFC West. It gets started tonight, so I'm looking forward to it. Melvin Gordon, who I have a couple shares of, I want to see him get out there versus that Denver Bronco defense, see what that offense look like. Obviously, we welcome Keenan Allen back into our fantasy hearts, hopefully for more than a quarter this year.
The cart has flown from Cincinnati to the other coast, right?
So, you know, interesting late West Coast game. I'm going to stay up and watch it. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm going to hang in there and still be here tomorrow morning. You know what I mean? Because I definitely want to see my guys DT, Emmanuel Sanders, and some of those players. Yeah, it was 6-0 something.
Yeah, I think I may have to do a couple of shots of like NyQuil this afternoon, or maybe even Captain Morgan. It kind of worked well for me on Friday night.
There you go. Y'all like y'all was rolling Friday night
for
too.
I want to stay up and watch some of this game.
You talk about Melvin Gordon, though. I'm interested to see what C.J. Anderson can do tonight. Because, look, I know the Chargers have a very good defense, but losing Denzel Perryman is a mm-hmm. big blow to that run defense. And I think they want to keep pressure off of Simeon. They're going to be using C.J. Anderson tonight.
Yeah, I think they will use C.J. Anderson
game for him.
Tonight as well. What is your prediction for game number one, though, Matt? Minnesota and New Orleans, who you got?
I'm going Vikings. I don't think there's outside of Minnesota, there are a few people higher in the Vikings than me.
All right, there you go. Scott.
I'm going to say the Vikings 31, Saints 17.
Interesting. Holding to 17 points. I like that. Yeah. Corey Parson.
I'm predicting the Vikings one?
Predicting the Vikings game.
That's a tough one right there. I don't know what to think about this one. I'm going to take the Vikings 28-27.
That's a good little game. I'm gonna take the Saints. I'm gonna take the Saints. I know everyone really believes in that Minnesota defense, but New Orleans offense in this game isn't a dome, so it's like, all right, at least they're indoors. I know it's away from the Superdome, but it is inside. I think Drew Brees goes to work.
A beautiful architectural building.
A beautiful architectural building indeed. Well, if you have a strong feeling in tonight's first game between Minnesota and New Orleans, you need to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie's been in the business for years, and the rep is really, really good. 100% cash bonus if you sign up today using the promo code ROTOEXPERTS, and then you get to make money for doing nothing. Fastest payouts in the business. You put that bet in tonight, you cash out tomorrow, you will get it by Thursday. That's the deal. 2 business days. If you feel confident, Minnesota or New Orleans tonight, lay some cash down and win big. We would never recommend the service to you unless we were confident in it. That's why we tell you to go to mybookie.ag. You win, they pay. In-game live betting. So, listen, things aren't going your way in the first half. You could bet that Giants under 10.5 points in the second half and win some money. Not that I know anyone that did that. But that's what's awesome. You're sitting on my couch, do it right on your phone, on mobile. That's how good the app is. Go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code ROTOEXPERTS for 100% cash bonus. Mybookie.ag, you play, you win, you get paid.
I thought one of the locked prop bets, we had Gabe on yesterday afternoon on Fantasy Football Live.
Yep.
And he was going over some of his picks, and it was Todd Gurley to rush for more than 85 yards. And I thought that was like a lock. I mean, I thought if there was ever a lock in that game, that matchup, it didn't happen.
I hate to say this. He's kind of lucky there's nobody else in that backfield besides him. He's not impressive running the football. He's just not. He looks like just a guy running the football. Two yards a pop against the Colts, that worries me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Corey. I'm worried as well.
Yeah, somebody said to me on Twitter yesterday, like, if he goes off against the Colts, should I get rid of him?
Listen to me.
Overreaction.
No, listen, I don't think it's unfair. Like, right now, you just said he's looking at someone else in the backfield. I don't think it's crazy to say you should see the market that Todd Gurley's out there right now.
I mean, the one thing, I know that's a crazy statement. And Scott, I think Scott made the point where that catching the passes is big.
Yes.
Being that he can be there.
He was a three-down back yesterday.
Can save
yes,
him, but it's
Benny
still,
Cunningham's gone.
I'll say this about the Rams. We're all excited. Goff, 300 yards. Kupp and Gurley with the pass catches. It was versus the Colts in week one. Let's see how this team goes into next week and beyond.
I think
one
you have
thing
to be optimistic,
say,
though.
In order for them to be a respectable team, which they weren't last year, they have to take advantage of a matchup like that, like they did.
They did a good job of that. I'm ready to see them versus the Seahawks. See that defense go up against that Seahawks O-line. Woo, that's that right there. I would be excited to sack Russell Wilson if I'm a Los Angeles Ram. You know what I'm saying?
New Orleans, and Minnesota. We pick
the season's over after 1 week, right?
Denver and Los Angeles is a late game tonight. Matt, who you got?
I'm going to go with Denver in a tight one. I'm going to take the home team in this battle. So Denver, but very close.
Scott.
Chargers 24-21.
I'm going to go Denver at that same score, 24-21. I don't think I know what the Chargers want to do. I don't think Denver's going to let them do it.
I will also take Denver here in this game. I know people are talking about the Chargers, but Denver's defense is still really, really good. So I'm not sleeping on Denver quite yet. When we come back, we wrap up the Roto Experts in the Morning. Find out what's coming up next. Here at Fantasy Football Friends, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
The Roto Experts in the Morning. Remember, the Roto Experts block continues next with the Fantasy Football Frenzy, who I quite promise you will have you covered. I know they'll talk about some of the big waiver wire pickers you need to add after the first week, and they'll look forward to week two a little bit. We're going over some of the major takeaways here from week one. I know we only got through Matt, so Scotty, I go to you. The Sunday is in the book. Thursday and Sunday are in the book. What'd you say?
Well, I think like Matt talks about, though, it's just 1 week and you really can't overreact to anything. Some of yesterday's stars are going to be next week's duds, and you have to go with the more proven players and can't just overreact to everything you saw in week one necessarily. We did see some promising performances, though, from Kennedy, Galladay, and Corey Davis, and and Cooper Kupp. So not only the rookie running backs, some of the rookie wide receivers are going to be very interesting.
It's Corey.
I was impressed with some of the quarterback play yesterday from some of the guys that we didn't think would be, some top quarterbacks. I thought Deshaun Kizer was impressive in his debut. I thought Jared Goff was impressive in his debut also. Obviously, Blake Bortles was able to drive the bus. I thought that was good. The Oakland Raiders look like they're legit. They're the real deal in that big-time matchup that they had. So that's some of the early takeaways. Dak Prescott, who everybody has as a candidate for regression, he gets his first win against the New York Giants. He looked poised out there also. And then on the same token, some of the quarterbacks that we were saying, could be those fringe guys like the Eli Mannings, the Andy Daltons, guys that could be this year's Cam Newton or this year's Matt Ryan, they looked damn right terrible yesterday. Both of those dudes were abysmal. I have Eli Manning on a fantasy team. I don't know what the hell is wrong with me for doing that.
You had Winston in that league?
No. Who's my starter in that league? I played him against you, whoever it is, and he didn't do nothing. He didn't do enough. Was that Dak? No, it was Russell Wilson. Yeah, it was Russell Wilson. Yeah, yeah, figures. Oh, that's why I'm going to lose to Scott, Matt. Damn it. That's why I'm going to lose to Scott.
Russell Wilson was like,
I got you. I got you, Scott. Yeah. I'm going to score 9 fantasy points this week.
So, Rich, one last point here. Rich Reba says something very, very interesting on Twitter, that he would rather have Buck Allen than any Arizona running back, given David Johnson's injury.
Well, the thing is, look, Kerwin Williams, it's a very small sample. We haven't seen much of him. When he's been on the field, he's been pretty good, I have to say that, from what I've seen. But it's not like he's going to get put in there and be David Johnson. You have to understand that point.
But will Buck Allen get in there and be Danny Woodhead?
I don't know about that.
I don't think he has that kind of pass-catching talent.
Hey, but he can run between the tackles, and Terrence West is not going to give you 16. Well, the thing about it is, can Buck Williams give you... I mean, Buck Allen. I said Buck Williams.
Great rebounder. Great rebounder.
Buck Williams grabbed 16
balls. Good free throw shooter.
So, here's the thing. Okay, say that Johnson has multiple week injury, right? Are they going to use him and give him 30, 40 touches the way they use David Johnson? Because if they do... then you have a potential RB1 that can come off the bench. I don't know if he has that kind of talent.
He doesn't have that. He's a different kind of guy.
Corey, what's coming up next inside of Fantasy Football Frenzy?
Fantasy Football Frenzy. We're trying to go over some of the major stories from yesterday, get you a little bit of an update on the latest injury news. Obviously, we'll be talking some week one waiver-wise guys you should pick up. And also some of, you know, me, Jake, and Matt will go through some of the reactions to some of the things that we saw yesterday. Want to hop right into some of these things. Obviously, we got to talk about, you know, some of the things that went down, like Julio Jones' targets, disappointing, Tariq Cohen, breakout, Jordan Howard, let you know what's going on with that situation, who you need, if you're a LeSean McCoy owner, obviously, you know, and then here it is, week damn one, and we get to talk about Bigfoot.
Of course we do, Jared. Tomorrow on the show, we'll go over the top waiver wire ads and how much you need to spend on them, but... that's tomorrow. Coming up next, it's the Fantasy Football Frenzy with Jake Seeley, Matt Modica, and, of course, my man, Corey Parson. For Matt and Corey, and, of course, the King, Scott Angle, my name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic afternoon. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Bye-bye.